If you would please remain standing for the reading of our gospel lesson found in the gospel according to Matthew, the 25th chapter, verses 14 through 30. Hear now the word of the Lord. Again, the kingdom of heaven can be illustrated by the story of a man going on a trip. He called together his servants and gave them money to invest for him while he was gone. He gave 5 talents to one, 2 talents to another, and 1 talent to the last, dividing in a proportion to their abilities. And then he left on his trip. The servant who received the 5 talents began immediately to invest the money and soon had doubled it. The servant with 2 talents also went right to work and doubled his. But the servant who received the 1 talent dug a hole in the ground and hid the master's money for safekeeping. After a long time, their master returned from his trip and called them to give an account of how they had used his money. The servant to whom he had entrusted 5 talents said, "Sir, you gave me 5 talents, and I have doubled that amount." The master was full of praise. "Well done, my good and faithful servant. You have been faithful in handling this small amount, so now I will give you more responsibilities. Let's celebrate together." Next came the servant who had received the 2 bags of the 2 talents with the report, "Sir, you gave me 2 talents to invest, and I have doubled that amount." The master said, "Well done, my good and faithful servant. You have been faithful in handling this small amount, so now I will give you many more responsibilities. Let's celebrate together." Then the servant with the 1 talent came and said, "Sir, I know that you are a hard man, harvesting crops you didn't plant and gathering crops you didn't cultivate. I was afraid I would lose your money, so I hid it in the earth, and here it is." But the master replied, "You wicked and lazy servant. You think I'm a hard man, do you? Harvesting crops I didn't plant and gathering crops that I didn't cultivate? Well, you should at least have put the money in the bank so that I could have had some interest. Take the money from this servant and give it to the one with the 10 talents. To those who use well what they are given, even more will be given, and they will have an abundance. But from those who are unfaithful, even what little they have will be taken away. Now throw this useless servant out into outer darkness, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth." The word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
You may be seated. This morning in our gospel lesson, we find the 3rd of 3 parables that Jesus tells. And we find also, we also remember that this is, you know, nearing the end of Jesus' life. And so what he is doing in these parables is that he is telling us, after I'm gone, this is how I want you to live. In the time between the ascension and when I come again, this is how you're supposed to do this thing called life. This is how you're supposed to live. And we know that in the first parable, there's the whole, you know, there'll be 2 men walking in a field, and one will be taken and one will be left behind. And then it's all about being watchful, being ready. You know, kind of at a moment's notice. That we just don't know the day or the hour or the time, so we just need to be ready. So we ought to live in hope and expectation. Now, the scripture also tells us that we should look forward to the day that Jesus comes. I don't know about you, but I usually don't wake up in the morning and think, "I wonder if today's the day." There have been times that I think, "Lord, it would really be good if you came today." But I don't usually wake up, you know, anticipating, you know. Because I like my life, and I like life, and I enjoy it. And I think Jesus did too. But he wants us to be ready, to be watchful. Then the next parable is the story of the 10 maidens and the oil, and you know, and some they had oil left over, and some didn't have enough. They just weren't prepared. And so he said, I want you to be prepared. I want you to be watchful, anticipating. I want you to be prepared. And then he tells this story. Now, we've heard other parables where about a man who has a farm and then he goes off. We've heard a couple of parables like that. But how does this parable tell us to live? Well, the parable, as we've read, is about a man who goes off and he gives his servants, slaves or servants, talents. Now, we have always interpreted that to mean like you can play the piano or you can play the guitar, or you can sing, a talent. But in Jesus' time, a talent was a standard of money. One talent was worth 15 years of a day laborer's wages. Now, that's a lot of money, just 1 year. And then he gave the first slave five. And that's a lot of money. I mean, that's 75 years worth of money. I would really appreciate it if somebody had 75 years of their salary saved up, if they would bring it to the church and give it to us. We would very much take it. And so on and so forth. So what is that? Then the guy doubles his, the next guy doubles his, and then the third guy, we know he just buries it in the ground. The first guy is rewarded, the second guy is rewarded, and the third guy is told to get out. The first two, well done, thy good and faithful servants. You have taken what I've given you, and you've used it, and you have doubled it. Very good. But what does this tell us about how we're supposed to live? I mean, what does somebody getting money and telling them to double it, and what does that tell us how to live? I don't think that necessarily means that he's giving you all your money and he wants you to take it out and he wants you to invest it and double it and everything will be all right. I think what he says for us today is that I want you to take your life, I want you to take your faith, and I want you to invest it. I want you to invest it. I think for too often, you know, our faith has become this thing that we like, that it's just kind of a comfort zone. My faith is there for me so that I can have comfort when things are hard. My faith is there when things are stormy, it can calm them down. My faith is there so that I can be personally comfortable and secure. Now, I believe that faith is there to be calm when everything is hectic. I believe that faith is there to give us strength when everything, when we feel weak and everything's kind of going wrong. But I don't think that that's the only reason why we have faith. I think Jesus wants us to have the kind of faith that risks and invests our lives in things that will double the kingdom, that will double our lives, that will double the faith. What if the call to discipleship was not about right thought, right belief, I'm good to go? What if following Christ and the call to discipleship was less about belief and more about following Jesus? Now, I'm not saying that, you know, you should believe the wrong things. But for too long, you know, if you're a good Christian and you believe the right things and you kind of keep your nose clean and everything's all right. But what if the call to discipleship is a radical call to following Jesus wherever he leads us and we invest our lives in his life? How much time do we invest in prayer? How much time do we invest in his word? How much time do we invest in worship? How much time do we really invest in the things of God? I think Jesus wants us to invest our lives into those things. But I think he also wants us to invest our lives in relationships, not only with himself, but with other people. I heard it said before, and I've said it myself, that there's only two things you can do on earth that you can't do in heaven, and that's sin and tell other people about Jesus. What do you think he's left us here for? Not to sin. So I give you one guess, and you know it doesn't count. So, but he's left us here to invest in relationships with other people. To invest in relationships, and not relationships that are mutually, you know, beneficial. And I don't mean that in a selfish way, but, you know, we have relationships with people because, you know, we like them. And they like us, and we have fun together, and they're mutually beneficial. But what about relationships with people that we just don't get anything out of it? Matter of fact, all we're doing is pouring in. And we're giving our lives, and you know, as a matter of fact, it's kind of sucking the life out of us. Would we risk to invest our faith in those kinds of adventures and endeavors? That we would find ourselves going to the least, the last, and the lost? The ones who don't know the good news, who have never even maybe heard good news. Or if they've heard some of the gospel, it's not been very good. What if we invested our lives in relationships like that? In relationships that were hard and that may hurt us? What if we lived our life like the outcome was not guaranteed? Now, maybe the final outcome's guaranteed. But you know, Jesus didn't save everybody, did he? He didn't heal everybody, did he? There were people who, when given the choice, walked away from Jesus. And sometimes I think we don't want to step out in faith because we just don't want that kind of rejection. Or we just don't want to put ourselves out there. It hurts too much. Because if I invest my life in somebody, and I invest in my time and my energy and whatever, and 3 years down the road, they just... Then I think, that's 3 years of my life that I've wasted. But you know what? I always wondered what this parable would be like. If Jesus had, you know, that first guy who had five talents, that guy had gone out and taken his five talents, invested it, and then lost everything. I wonder what Jesus would have said to him. I think he would have probably been easier on him than the guy who buried his one talent. Now, I'm not saying, and you know this, and that I'm not saying that you just go invest your lives in frivolous things any more than, you know, if that guy would have invested his five talents in pet rocks, you know, Jesus might have had something to say about that. But to invest our lives in the things that matter the most. We invest our lives so much, we invest so much of our time in things that don't ultimately, eternally matter. I mean, just think about how much time we invest in our occupations only to one day retire. And we just don't do it anymore. I mean, we've invested 35, 40, 45, 50 years in something. And the whole last 10 years, it's like, man, I can't wait to stop doing this. We've invested a lot of time in that. And, we may have a nice bank account, or we might have, you know, a nice stock portfolio or retirement IRAs or whatever. But then, what do we have to show for it? Because we know that we can have nice portfolios, and it doesn't take any time for the stock market to crash and those to be cut in half. So who are you going to trust? Instead of us playing it safe, I think Jesus wants us to risk. Because I really do not want to get to the end of my life and think, you know, if I've played it safe. And let me tell you what, they encourage clergy people to play it safe. It is encouraged by the discipline for us to play it safe. In seminary, they tell you, you know, if you have an idea, well, you can't do that when you get to a church. Well, why not? Well, the church won't let you. Even though it's the right thing to do, you can't do it. And so by the time you graduate from seminary, you find out there's things that you just can't do. And then when you get ordained, then you've got to fill out these reports. And, you know, man, if you don't fill them out and cross the T's and dot the I's, it makes you look bad. And so then you realize, you know, well, I'm never going to move up in this world. And so I better get with the system and get with the program. And I do not want to get to the end of my life and think, you know, I've played it safe. I've not risked anything. Because I'm afraid that if I do that, when I get to that spot in my life, I will realize that the real risk was not risking. To not ever really caring deeply and passionately about something that would really matter. About not investing my life in things that would really and truly matter. I've always told friends of mine, that if you ever hear me say anything about me worried about what my next appointment was going to be, to please just pop me in the mouth. Because I don't ever want to worry about what God's got for me next. I want to invest in what He's got for me now. Because I don't know what next is. And I'm going to let Him worry about that. But I want to invest my life, my time, my resources, everything that I have now into what He has given me. It's risky business. It took Jesus to the cross. It took Jesus to the cross. It's about sacrifice, humility, obedience, following, submission. Doesn't conjure a lot of warm, fuzzy feelings inside of you, does it? No. But that's the life we are called to. I was reminded this weekend of a fellow that I have known for a while said, you know, when you become a Christian, the best way to describe becoming a Christian is that it changes your druthers. Does that make sense? It changes your druthers. I'd rather do that, but God's called me to do this. I love that. That's exactly right. I don't want to live my life and find out that the greatest risk of all was not risking anything. Nothing ventured, nothing gained. So the call of Jesus today in this parable is to take what Jesus has given to us and invest it in the lives of other people, to invest our time, our resources, and yes, the talents that He has given to us, so that other people can know Jesus, so that other people can live in His light. Because we live in a world that desperately needs good news. Desperately needs to hear good news. Desperately needs to hear that this is not it. Eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow we die, is a lie. This life is real, and we need to live it. And we need to give our lives to His mission. And that is what this parable calls us to. Is to invest heavily, invest with everything we have. Because I'm afraid that if we are like that fella who dug a hole and buried his talent, that we will just have to, we will be told, okay, you know what? You had your chance, now just go away. And what will happen is that we will live with regret. And I think that that's what weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth means. We're going to live with regret. And we're going to be sorry, and we're going to wish that we could do it over again. it is too late. So I want to challenge you today. I want to call us forth today to be people that have a high-risk faith. God knows the plans He has for you. He that has begun a good work in you, it is He who works in you to will and to do His good pleasure. He's already the one that's working inside of you, so why don't we just all step out and go with the flow of the Holy Spirit? So I invite you this week to step out in faith, to risk your faith, to risk your time, and give your life to Him. Let us pray. Eternal God, forgive us when we have played it safe, when we have been content to just be secure in who we are and our relationship with You. Help us to find ways this week to invest the life that You have given us into relationships with people who do not know You and have never known the life-giving salvation of Your Son, Jesus Christ. We pray this in Your Son's name. Amen.